it's time to move your feet. On the upbeat, so come on and dance with me. Cause life is bitter, life is sweet, and it's got you on the edge of your seat. But you know that life is better, it's always better on the upbeat.
Welcome to On the Upbeat. I, of course, am Matt Vest, and with me this week is the ska mailman, Adam.
That's right, I'm here, Adam, the ska mailman Wallace, and I do three things. That's replace RJ when he's not here, deliver all things ska to you, and talk to cool ska bands. Today's no exception. We have with us Bob, Jay, and Mark from the band Girth Control. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us, man.
We are excited to chat with you all. I was thinking about this today. For Girth Control, if your next album is not titled Mark, Jay, and Bob Strike Back, I'm going to be disappointed. Because the Jay and Bob, Jay and Silent Bob, you know.
We could at least make a poster out of
have
that.
We never thought of that.
I've been playing great.
Years into this and never thought of that. It's wild.
Yeah. Yay! New ideas all the time. That's great.
Now we have to give Matt royalties on
that. No. I don't do this for the money. Unless you're a listener, then just be nice and give us money. But bands, no. Bands don't pay money. how are all you all doing? How was your weekend? How are things going?
We're doing great, man. We're getting ready for our album release shows, and things are starting to come together. You know, a lot of the songs that we recorded, we haven't really played in a while since we recorded them. So trying to get that on track to play album release shows feels a little daunting, which is never something that we want Girth Control to feel like. So. But get a couple practices under our belt playing some of the new songs, and we're feeling good. Yeah. Life is good, man.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, because you have a few shows coming up, right? And like the first is your real first album release going.
Yeah, right. We're like next weekend, Albany, New York, and Buffalo, New York. We've got our big record release shows. So yeah, we're excited. They're like the biggest shows we've ever played. We've ever booked ourselves. So we're definitely getting there.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Exciting. Yep. All right. So before we chat some more, I do have a general ska question for everyone here. Adam and I will give our two cents. But I want to know, what is everyone's favorite ska mascot? So this is like a character or some sort of, yeah, usually it's a character, usually a dog or some sort of animal or whatever. So just examples, you don't have to pick this one if I forgot anything, but I do want to give examples of what I mean is, so like the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones Bulldog, Mustard Plug, Mustard Man, the Skink and Pickle, Real Big Fish, the Little Bat from the Aquabats, Less Than Jake, Evolution Kid. Does anyone have, you know, a favorite mascot that they just think, you know, is a good design or really works for the band?
I'm going to say that, honestly, I think the Girth Control beer bong is really, really giving all of them a run for their money. You know what I mean? It's pure. We didn't mean for the beer bong to be the mascot, but we have now made t-shirts with the beer bong. We've made artwork with the beer bong ripping a BC Rich. So Girth Control beer bong is definitely up there. My second would have to go to the Aquabats bat myself.
Yeah, my girlfriend, when we saw the Aquabats like 20 years ago, I think for the first time, she got a little foam Aquabat guy, like a little foam bat. And she's had it in her car ever since, and it's protected her car from tickets, from accidents. All has been well in her car forever because of the little Aqua Buddy.
You need one for your car. Your car's always
My car's always falling apart, so I need to get my own to protect my car from all the bad things that can happen to it.
Oh yeah, maybe I need to get that too. I had some van issues yesterday, so maybe I should get that.
Maybe if I get one of those, my mail truck will stop breaking down.
Yeah, just get you a little Aqua Buddy who will keep it all safe for you.
Oh yeah. Adam, what do you think? What is your sort of favorite
I mean, now I'm leaning towards the beer bong because that's kind of like you said, it's the perfect mascot for the band that it's in, right? So the beer bong's great. I'm a big fan of the Real Big Fish fish, but specifically the one that's got like that snaggle tooth on the bottom. Mm-hmm. Like there's the one that smokes the cigar, which is all fine. But I think Matt Wong drew that like tough looking one. And I always thought that would make like a good tattoo. But also, if you know the show Gravity Falls on Disney, there's bad guy is Bill Cipher. And my son drew a ska Bill Cipher that's like all checkered. And so that might be my favorite ska mascot is the little drawing that's on my fridge right now.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I think, I don't know. I feel like I kind of like the mustard plug mustard man.
That's pretty solid.
Especially since I've seen that live and it's like a full costume and it feels, I don't know, very embodied of the band. You know, because they usually kind of dress. The band usually dresses up, and they got
suits and stuff.
Yeah, and so the mustard man is usually wearing a suit too.
Like you said, with like Less Than Jake, the evil kid will come out and spray the toilet paper on everybody.
Yeah.
At the live shows, I think Voodoo Glow Skulls has like a mask that they wear out there, right?
Yep.
That's like the one with like his eyes are all popping out. It's almost like a Rat Fink style.
Yeah, I can't think of what that's called. I'm sure it's got a name. In fact, I was surprised to find out that the Less Than Jake character was called Evolution.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if it's Evolution. I've just heard it as Evo, but Evolution makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know how that relates to Less Than Jake. I'm not entirely sure.
Here with you guys. I mean, we can be real on this, right?
Yeah, you can be honest. Yeah.
I've always and I hope no one from Less Than Jake's ever listens to this. I hope they do for your guys' sake, but for my sake, I've always felt like that mascot seems I just don't get it. I like it when I'm at the show and the mask, but I feel like the way that they put out like an action figure or something, I'm not making the connection with it. I don't have a personal connection with it. Mm.
See, now to me, I always thought that like it was connected to the band because he has the same haircut as Krista makes. They have that spiky thing going on. And sure. Chris did like blonde for a really long time. So that's what I always thought. It was like a cartoon version of him, but I don't know what the story is.
Yeah, I guess I always just assumed it was their sort of version of like maybe their average fan, maybe, you know.
When I was in middle school, I was a really big fan of Eddie from Iron Maiden. That's like the best band mascot ever.
That's the one to beat. Nobody can touch Eddie.
I think we're all coming to just try to like beat Eddie, and it's just never going to happen because he's a pharaoh, he's a soldier, he's everything.
But he's not ska.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Scott Eddie would definitely, I think that there would be some upset Iron Maiden fans.
Iron Maiden fans be upset about their band? Never.
Are there any original members in Iron Maiden? Like,
I think they're all original members.
Oh, really? Oh.
I think so. At least most of them.
Didn't they start in like the 70s?
Maybe late 70s or early 80s, but I know like Bruce Dickinson still sings. Okay. Am I outing myself as a big Iron Maiden fan right now?
That's fine.
Bruce Dickinson's not an original member, so
he's not. Oh, that's right.
That's the most first album. Steve Harris is the bass player, right? And he's been like the main guy.
Yeah,
I think for the whole.
And they're all in the best shape of their life because they just play soccer and play music. That's like all they do.
Fly planes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah,
like, Bruce Dickinson like flies them to their shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's a pilot.
Wow. Well, this is Iron Maiden chat, and
yeah, we've gotten off the rails.
It's okay. The way we're gonna get back on the rails is we're gonna get to ska news. Here's ska news.
Rude girls and rude boys too. Grab your friends and listen to what we're telling you. I saw, you might have heard, but again, you're about to miss me in ska news.
Yes, ska news, where we tell you about some recent releases in ska, and or anything else we want to talk about in ska that's coming up. I got a song I want to tell you about. So on Friday, February 16th, Call Me Malcolm released their third single. That's right, their third single. It is called We Shall Meet in the Place Where There Is No Darkness. What are these, like, Fall Out Boy titles now? Sorry. I mean, trust me, I love Call Me Malcolm.
Yeah, I thought we stopped talking about Iron Maiden.
Yeah. But so this is the third single off their upcoming album, Echoes and Ghosts. The new album comes out March 1st, which I believe you can still pre-order some copies from Bad Time Records. Hopefully there's some still available by the time this episode drops. But let's check out the most recent single that is streaming everywhere now. We Shall Meet in the Place Where There Is No Darkness. I just love Call Me Malcolm. They're definitely one of my favorite modern ska bands, and I love them so much. And
they just announced they're playing in the U.S. They're going to be playing
Ska
Punk International Fest.
But, you know, not in Southern California, so, you know, it's not...
No, on the opposite side. No, more where Girth Control's at.
Yeah. Our neck of the woods. Yeah, we're getting the good stuff these days.
You lucky East Coast people being closer... to the UK.
Ska Punk International Fest is great. That's a hell of a lineup on that.
Yeah,
stoked for that.
Adam, what do you got in the way of ska news?
I have got a new single from another over the seas band. They are a Welsh two-tone and Britpop inspired ska band called Cartoon Violence. And on Valentine's Day, they released a single that it's called Imaginary Friend. I first saw that single, I was like, is this a cover of a Real Big Fish song? I thought the same thing when I saw
and then
the
it's
title,
not. It's totally not.
It's completely different. Yeah,
it's not.
Very English sounding.
Yes, yes. So yeah, that's a good and way to bring the RJ, because RJ loves Cartoon Violence. So yeah. All right, last for ska news. On Tuesday, February 20th, Mutiny, the ska supergroup, is releasing their debut EP. The A side of this record has four songs in English, and the B side has those same songs in Japanese. The Japanese songs are sung by members of Frail. This self-titled EP from Mutiny is streaming everywhere now as you all listen to this podcast. We're going to listen to a clip from their song, This Is a Eulogy. Let's check it out.
My mother, I see the light fade in your eyes. So full of wonder, even through demise. Will we see tomorrow, or will the sun rise on our lips?
Ska supergroup Mutiny, featuring members of, let's see, Dissident,
Dente, and Voodoo Bowl Skulls are the big ones.
Yeah.
I actually have heard this EP. I first got it like a year ago because Chris Ruckus from Dissidente is a good friend of mine, and he sent it to me and said, "Dude, check this out. Like, I want your opinions on it." And it rips. It's so, so aggressive and like so cool. And there's also a manga that goes along with the EP that follows the story of the BEP, because it's like a concept kind of deal. And the manga is really fun to read too. So if possible, get your hands on one of those.
I did hear that the first pressing is already sold out.
Yeah, and then Chris over at Scopic International just announced that they're already doing the second pressing, and it's like in Laguna. It's like another cool color. So more of them are on the way because they sold out fast.
Yeah. All right. Mr. Ska Mailman, do you want to take this moment to maybe, do you want to promote something you're doing, maybe about a place you're going that people might want to enjoy you going to and maybe help you get there?
Sure. I would like to take this moment. I never do this, but I do need some help from all of the great people who listen to On the Upbeat or know who I am through TikTok or whatever it is that we all do. I am going to go to Ska Punk International Fest in Connecticut, where Mutiny and Call Me Malcolm, who we just talked about, are going to be playing amongst a ton of other great, great bands. I've got the press pass to go to represent us here on the Upbeat, talk with all these great bands, make a bunch of good videos and interviews to bring to the people. The only problem is I live in Idaho and Connecticut's very far away, so I do need a little bit of help. I set a goal to cover some of the expenses of traveling over there. So if people wouldn't mind going and donating, helping out a little bit, they just use any of the, you know, big ones like Venmo, PayPal, Cash App for the Ska Mailman. And we'll get some perks for you. At the very least, you're going to get a song that I've written and recorded that hasn't been heard by many people except for those who have donated. So you get one of those. If you want some sort of specific question asked from these bands, you can hit me up from that too. Like, I'm happy to be a man of the people here and give everyone what they want out of these bands that we're going to go see. And we can probably come up with a couple more perks, right, Matt?
Sure. Over time, we will definitely come up with some stuff.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. But in the meantime, if you could just help cover that, I've also got at my personal link in bio. It's on my Instagram and my TikTok. You can see the little meter I have of where we're meeting at the goal. And right now, we're at about 13%. I'd like to get it more and get us out to Ska Punk International Fest and have a great On the Upbeat representation there.
Yeah, help us send Adam to Ska Punk International Fest. We're excited to have the opportunity. It came about. I got an email about like, "Hey, press pass if you want to go." And we're like, Well, I'm all the way on this side of the country, so that seems like a lot. And but Adam yeah. like had the desire to go and a little bit of the ability to go, so we're gonna try to make it happen. All right.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I went last year, and there was a ton of great bands, and it was incredible. And this year, some of the ones that haven't been announced yet, I know who's going to be there, and it is the festival to be at.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, cool Chris, if you're listening, 2025, Southern California. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. All right.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we have Disneyland and stuff. People will probably want to go here anyway if you put it in the summer. A lot of cool places to hang out here, so a lot of draw here. You get a lot of people.
And if you can add Girth Control to the lineup, that'd be wonderful.
That'd be great. All right, speaking of Girth Control, we're going to talk to them. We're going to break it down, find out, first, how did Girth Control get its start?
Well, we were all, these guys both were in a band who maybe some of your listeners remember or still listen to called Public Access from back in the day, the early 2000s. Bob and Jay were both in that band. Did some cool things, especially in the Northeast, you know. Did a few crazy national tours that
couple,
I've heard about.
Couple, yeah. Yeah.
And oh, cool. Those guys broke up in 07?
08.
Yeah. 08.
08, yep.
And then I started playing with Jay and the singer from Public Access, Chris, in a band called Slaughterhouse Chorus. We played in that band starting in 2009. It was like a country punk band. We did that for a long time. A few years into it, our bass player left and Bob joined that band. And then in 2015, Chris, who was the singer in Slaughterhouse Chorus and the, I think we can all agree, the most talented member.
Yeah, yeah. So the talent of the band.
He bought a business and he decided, you know, he just needed to slow down a bit. So we had a show booked in my basement in Albany with our friends Bridge Under Fire from Syracuse. And it was, my basement was called the Shred Shack. And we had a lot of great times there. But Chris was like, dude, I can't do the show. I got this whole business to go and do. And I got to slow down a little bit for right now. So we were like, all right, well, we still want to do it. So what do? We got 3 weeks till the show. And so we decided we were going to start a ska punk band where we all sing. Since none of us can sing, we would just all split the duties. And we would learn three covers and write three songs in 3 weeks. So that was how we got our start. We were only going to play the one show, and that was 9 years ago. Yeah. So it was so much fun that we stopped.
Yeah. The ska just reeled us back in, you know. We couldn't stay away.
You can't escape ska.
No, once it hits your lips, it's just, it tastes so good.
All right. So since you mentioned that you sing, real quick, and I'm not going to make you sing. Don't worry. Don't freak out.
Thank you.
Can you all introduce yourselves and tell us, besides singing, what else do you do in the band?
Yeah, so I am Bob. I play bass in the band, and of course lead vocals.
Yeah, he said besides sing, but we'll keep going. Sorry. I'm Jay. I play guitar in the band, and
also lead vocals.
And also lead vocals. Yeah, we'll keep it going.
Yeah, it's a good joke. It's a good bit, dude. And I'm Mark, drums and sing lead vocals.
So having three lead vocalists is a very unique thing. How do you guys kind of decide, like, who's singing what? Is it based on who wrote the song, or is it just what fits the song itself?
Yeah, I think when we started, because none of us really felt at all comfortable with singing, we just all sang everything all the time, and that works really well, too. But as we've matured as artists, we've got a little bit better with our vocals, and yeah, I don't know that there's really a method, but it all, you know, we sort of figure, you know, there's certain parts that work better for Mark's voice, there's certain parts that work better for mine, and for Bob. So there's no real method to the madness, but we sort of figured out early on that if nobody can sing, all of us singing in different ways will fill that void.
Well, yeah. I like all the group vocals because it definitely contributes to the party vibe of everything, right? And it's very like, not to compare other bands, but like Pew Pew Pew. Every one of their songs is a huge party, and it's all three of them singing, or all four or five of them singing all at the same time. And I really dig that sound. But no, I definitely noticed because I've got the newest album. I've listened to it a couple times. I got the whole thing, and I've got the vinyl coming too. And I'm a big fan of the record. And I did notice like there were moments where it wasn't everybody, and so the moments when it is everybody makes the party even wilder.
Yeah. I think that's what we realized. I remember reading an interview with Ian MacKaye at one point where he talked about how when he was in Minor Threat, it was all everything all the time, play loud and fast as much as you can. And at one point his grandma or somebody came to him and was like, but if you had a quieter part in the song, wouldn't the louder parts feel more effective? Like, wouldn't it hit you a little bit harder? And that became Fugazi. So I guess that's our Fugazi. Once we figured out that we're gonna compare ourselves to Fugazi real quick.
That's fine.
We figured out like if one person sings for like a minute, and then when we all sing, it really comes in hard and it hits you a little bit harder. So that's the beauty of Girth Control.
So speaking of the beauty of Girth Control, where did the name come from?
It's a, you know, people think that it is gonna be like some kind of great joke to it or anything, but I literally when we were trying to come up with a name for the Slaughterhouse Chorus back in 2009, we were all just like, all right, we don't have a name for this band. Let's try and come up with some stuff. So I was just literally driving through Scotia, New York. It's just a small town in upstate New York. And I saw a billboard that said Birth Control, and I thought Girth Control. And I was like, well, that's way too stupid to use for this band, this serious. But I'm going to hold on to that because someday I'm going to need a stupid name for a band. Yep. And then I was like,
for 5 years.
Yeah.
Right?
When we were like, I was like, dude, we got to start a new band and play a show in 3 weeks. And it's going to suck. We have to, you know, it's going to be dumb. So, all right, we'll just call it Girth Control. And everyone was like, fine, great. That's fun. So, yeah.
Well, and like I said, I've listened to the album and it seems like maybe it gets you into trouble with booking, right? Because he had that one guy who's like, I thought you said Birth Control. He's got that really thick East Coast accent. Sounds like girth, like you're trying to control your weight or something.
Yeah, that's a real voicemail from Mickey Bliss, who ran the Cantab Lounge in Boston. Great dude. So that's it. Legit, he left that for our friend Aria, who is in a wonderful band, Coffin Salesman, out that way. And Coffin Salesman booked a show, and that was the voicemail he got from Mickey Bliss, and that made the record.
It's perfect.
Yeah, trying to control your weight. I assumed it was going to be a penis reference. That's what I
assumed. Well, that's what I was thinking.
That's what a lot of people think, and we do have our of course, we do it to ourselves a little bit because our Instagram handle is girthcontrol69, but it's really like, it's not a dick joke, and it's just dumb juvenile.
As
middle school juvenile dumb as you could possibly get. Isn't that funny?
I mean,
Girth, it's Girth. that's
I mean,
it.
It's my favorite, Girth Control 69, and then you also get 420 with songs like Bongzilla.
Well, I didn't realize that a lot of the songs that I wrote lyrics for on this album, I talk about smoking weed like a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, did I didn't realize? And like, until I was listening to the whole album all the way through, I was like, damn, I talk about smoking weed a lot. Like, maybe I got a fucking problem. I don't know.
Yeah, that Jay and Silent Bob reference now sounds a little bit more appropriate, doesn't it?
That's true, yeah.
Well, I'm like Mark Hamill in Jay and Silent Bob when he rips out of the...
Well, I just wanted to bring up the Girth Control bio, the Bandcamp bio, I think sums up the band perfectly. I will read a segment of it. What got you stoked in the first place? Remember the days of circle pits and skateboards, basement bands and beer bongs? The beauty of punk rock and all its permutations. The sound of three punk rock lifers fueled by infectious joy of making dumb music with good friends, still stoked after all these years. When I listened to the album, I was like, that is 100% the perfect bio I've ever heard for a band.
Thanks. Oh my God. We're going to have you intro our band every show.
Sure.
That was beautiful. That really...
No, I got the record a couple weeks ago from Chris from Infectious. What's the name? I'm so sorry.
Insidious Industries.
He sent me the Bandcamp link, and I listened to it like a couple times, and then I'm getting the vinyl sent to me now because it's up there for one of my favorite records for this year so far. I thought it was a blast.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just into having fun, and that's what it's all about for me. So like some of my favorite bands are just like, let's just go party and not worry about shit and just like have a good time. And this is a good time album if I ever heard one.
That is what we're going for. Yeah, thank you, man. Great.
Of course. And when is the album out? It's on the 1st?
Yeah, March 1st. Yep, so we're getting there. Real close. Coming out soon.
Yeah. So what were those... So basically, Girth Control started because another band had sort of disappeared, fallen apart, however you want to say it. But once you decided to move forward as Girth Control, because it sounded like you guys kind of thought it would just be that one show. Yeah. First of all, when did the decision happen to keep going with Girth Control? And also, what were those early Girth Control shows really like?
Oh, man. So, yeah. So Mark mentioned earlier, he lived in this, like, it was pretty much a punk house in Albany. And, so we practiced in the basement there, and they had shows there. I mean, the shows really were just an excuse at that point to buy a keg and have all of our friends over and party. There were some legit shows, but it turned into a good time. But I'd say we played the first show, and people loved it, and we realized we wrote three pretty awesome songs and said, hey, we can just keep this train rolling, which we did there for a while. And
I think there was also something to just like, you know, Mark mentioned Bob and I started in a ska punk band. Like, we all grew up with this music, and being away from it for quite some time, playing, you know, like some version of punk, but it was, you know, we weren't doing ska. We weren't really playing that like style that we all grew up with. It was a little bit different. To get back to like Op Ivy and the Suicide Machines and Less Than Jake and a lot of the stuff that we all grew up with, that, you know, really brings us a lot of joy. It just, you know, took us on this rocket, you know, this rocket to like
happiness.
Yeah, it's like, you don't realize. Yeah. You know, like, playing music's always a lot of fun, but yeah, getting back to the roots of what we all, you know, what got us stoked in the first place, as we say in the bio. Just, we couldn't stop it. Girth Control, just, it was a train out of control, you know?
And so we played that first show in September of 2013.
It was actually 2014.
2014?
Yeah, this is year 10 of Girth Control.
Oh, man.
Year.
Okay, yeah. So then we recorded the album in the basement at a show. So, like, the shows were so much fun, and all our friends would come and have a really great time. And we were like, there's no way to capture this other than to just record us playing a show in the basement and having all our friends there. So our first album is actually, it's a live album. It's called What Got You Stoked in the First Place. And you know, we thought it was funny too, to just like, what if our first album's a live album? And like, what if we make it, because a live album is kind of like a greatest hits, you know? Usually, so we're like, yeah, what if we like, act like this band has existed forever, and this is a live album. And we're playing our biggest show in front of all our fans, but really it's just in my basement with our friends. And we're just like, so if you want to know what those shows were like, just listen to the first album.
It's pretty,
you know, we always had a VCR, one of those VCR TVs behind us, and we had a stack of old tapes, and we would just pop them in. So like, during that album, we have the Waterboy playing behind us, and we were like, so we're always like talking about the movie that's playing behind us. And we're just back in those days too, I'm a drummer, so nobody ever gave me a microphone before. So back in those days, I fucking talked, like, I talk a lot now, but like back then, man, I would fucking just go. I don't know why these guys never stopped me. I don't know. People liked it though. It was fun. We were having a good time. Like, it was just freedom, honestly. So it was a blast. Those early shows were a blast, but we've had fun at every single show that we've ever played. And we always keep that, like, just dudes in a basement connecting with the same thing that we've loved for, you know, most of our lives, and just trying to make people laugh and drink a few too many beers and have a great time, maybe pull a muscle or something skanking around, you know.
I love that so much. I mean, my whole thing is like, I want it to be fun because I played in bands my whole life, and as soon as it stops being fun, I just don't want to do it. I'm just there to like, I mean, none of us are making money off this. So, I mean, like, if you're not having a good time, then what's the point? So I love that. And I like the comedy aspect of it because I'm big into comedy. And I would have the same exact thought of, like, let's have our first record be, like, live. That is totally my sense of, like, yes, this is what the fun part and, like, just being a goofballs is.
I think we were also just, like, scared to record a real album and try to sing on them. That was the only way to do it. We played the set twice. We recorded it. That's the album.
It's also a reason for the humor, too. Like, the humor is, in a way, stems from, like, well, if we're going to all be, like, start a band, we can't be too serious because it would be lame because we're not that good at singing. Right. So we have to, like, we have to just kind of be ourselves, really. We have to just, like, be kind of fun and normal, and I mean we touch on like some serious stuff or some, you know, heartfelt things, but always with a little sense of humor to it. And it's just I think we accidentally stumbled upon the realization that the best thing you can do is just be yourself and just, you know, try your best, stay true to yourself and connect and just try to connect with people and make friends. It's like,
yeah, man. Yeah. Nobody got into ska to be super cool. So,
excuse me. Yes, I did. No. So we're gonna listen to a song off the new record. We're gonna listen to "Wrecked on Triple Sec." And what can you guys tell us about this song?
So this is a song that actually features the horn section from Public Access. So we brought back some friends we've been playing music with for 20 years. To play saxophones on it, and it's just a song about we kind of put ourselves back in our headspace as the 14-year-olds we were when we were first getting into ska and punk rock, doing dumb shit with our friends, drinking our parents' liquor, and playing Less Than Jake on the stereo and dancing around the house when they weren't home. So that's what the song's about, but it really is just about kind of getting back to the roots of what got you stoked, and you know, it's sort of our celebration of ska and the stupidity of being young.
All right, that's awesome. So let's take a listen to the song now, and we'll come back and chat some more.
Across the board, the averages. But you really should've thought to
Okay, so you have this song that has horns on it, but you don't really have horn players in your band. How are you going to handle that song live?
We don't know.
We were just talking about that.
Kazoos, I tell you, kazoos.
Yeah, I think that's that might be it. Yeah.
Well, at the record release show, we are having Chris and Matt play.
Awesome.
We might have other friends from Do It With Malice and Power Up play at the Buffalo show. We're not sure on that yet, but you know, if we can piece together with other ska bands that we're playing with on the bills and
absolutely
able to do like that,
yeah.
But
yeah, it seems like a good way. Yeah. To like get some guest stars going, you know, it doesn't seem like it's that hard a song to play. So hopefully we can just,
well, and you're in good company with Do It With Malice and Power Up. They can definitely handle that.
Yeah. They're like actually talented.
They can handle our songs. Yeah.
I do always think of, I was saying to these guys, like, you know, when you see the Suicide Machines and they play Van's song, they don't have horns.
True.
So they pull it off, right?
Yeah, like, absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
So somehow we just have to
we'll figure it out.
I guess be as good as the Suicide Machines. Okay, we're fucked.
So the album comes out March 1st. It is called Life's Too Short for Girth Control. What can you tell us about the record? How long did it take to put together? When did you all start recording it? Stuff like that.
Yeah, I'll start. So it's a 25 song album. It took us a very long time to record, because we started kind of not long before the COVID thing happened.
It was a little long. It was like, late 2019.
Yeah. So something like that. Mm. So yeah, I don't know. We're like 5 years into this record.
We didn't mean for this to happen, but we had, so just like the first album's a live album, the second album, we thought it would be funny to do a full length on a 7-inch. So that was our homage, Short Music for Short People. That was the main goal. So we were like, wouldn't it be funny to do a 14 song 7-inch and that, but consider it a full length because it's 14 actual songs. So that was, so just in our effort to not ever put out a normal album until the next one. This one conceptually was supposed to be like our double LP. So that was like the goal. That's where the title came from. Life's Too Short for Girth Control, like this grandiose double LP of an album where, you know, we go in all these different directions, and we somehow tie it all together. And we originally were supposed to have like an 8-minute song on it that by the time we were done recording, we were like, dude, we can't, we will do that. But so yeah, I mean, Jay's got a pretty sweet setup in his house, where we would just write a song and record it. That was it. So we were just like, we knew what we wanted for the album. We've had, you know, we've conceptually had it for since 2018 when we were starting to write it. We had to write a few stinkers and you know, be like, well, that song isn't good enough, and kick them off to the side so that we could get to the good ones. And you know, when you're only getting together like once a week, it's like most, you know, grown adults, you have shit to do and you have whatever.
Yeah. And we've all been in different bands kind of throughout the time with Girth Control as well. Like the Slaughterhouse Chorus didn't break up when we started Girth Control. It was kind of a side project for quite a while. So that band did finally break up in 2019. And Mark's been in a other band called Northern Faces that goes on tour every once in a while. So, you know, for a long time, Girth Control was a side project. Not in our hearts, but in reality.
Sure.
So, you know, there's always a lot going on. And so it took us a while to get here. But yeah, very excited to have it done. It was a lot to put together, but we finished it up about a year ago. And then our friend Chris, who we mentioned earlier from Insidious Industries and Do It With Malice, wanted to put the record out. So, you know, we were able to press it on vinyl, which was not something that was originally in the cards. Very excited to have it out.
Originally, the concept was to put it out on one of those thick double CD jewel cases. We were going to go on eBay and like buy, you know, a bunch of thick CDs. So that was like, so if we would have done it that way, we probably could have put it out like a year ago.
Right.
But Chris wanted to press it, and we were like, well, we'd be fools not to press it on vinyl, no matter how long it takes.
And we couldn't quite get him to spring for the double LP.
well, I know it is 25 tracks, but it's a short record. I don't know. You don't really need two LPs. Okay, sure. Yeah. So I guess it would be a real double LP.
We were pushing the single LP.
It just barely fit on the LP. But yeah, it's not a double LP. It's not really a double LP.
What you should
well, I just know like some of the tracks are like 18 seconds long.
What you should have put it on is Hit Clips. You know, the hit clips from the early 2000s.
That would have been great that would have been great for the Shorter, Faster, Dumber 7. We could have put those out all on Hit Clips. Remember the lollipops that would play music? Did you guys ever have those?
Oh yeah. I forgot about those.
I've heard of them, but I never had them.
Those were nuts. I felt like I was breaking my teeth just to hear a Spice Girls song. Like, what was I doing?
Well, yeah. What are you going to do when the internet hadn't been invented yet? I mean,
we didn't have a lot of stuff going on then.
Yeah.
I had PlayStation 1 and a lollipop that played a Spice Girls song. All right.
That's when life was the best, too.
It was the future. Yeah.
I had a really, really specific question from the record. In the song, You Get What You Pay For, are you like doing an homage to Slayer on the drums there?
Yes.
You got it.
Yes. Okay. I thought I called it.
So, yes. We do try to put in a lot of weird little homages and things that make us laugh. But that's 1000% just trying to, wouldn't it be funny?
I thought I caught a few of them.
And we, you know, rules are made to be broken. So like we always had a rule of no breakdowns. That was like the rule of Girth Control.
Okay, sure.
I guess we're going to break that rule. But if we're going to break that rule, we're going to put a Slayer, right. Like big drum Slayer fill before the breakdown. Then, so yes, I'm glad that you caught that. Thank you.
That's great.
Awesome. I'm all for that too. And like some of my music, I haven't released it yet, but I put little earworms like that all the time. Like I just straight up stole the Sound System riff that. If you listen like in the right ear of some obscure song at minute 131 or whatever, you'll hear that stupid riff. Like,
yeah, we love all that stuff. You know who's really great at that is the band Pairs.
Pairs does that.
Yeah,
I don't know. I hope they're still a band. I think.
And weirdly, actually, it must be the guitar player, because I was just listening to the Bad Operation record recently, and I think they share a guitar player.
They do. Yep, that's right.
Operation is great at that, too. Like, those little homages, like the Impossibles thing that starts the record off. And, yeah, all those guys are just fantastic at, like, paying tribute to the influences without, you know, totally ripping things off.
Or totally ripping them off.
Totally
and having
off.
It be funny, yeah.
But yeah.
Or what Puff Daddy called sampling.
Yes.
Or Vanilla Ice. No, mine goes dun 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 dun.
It's not the same. So what can you tell us about the ska scene in upstate New York?
Is there a ska? There's a little bit of a ska scene in upstate New York. There's not a lot around where we are specifically, but we've talked about this recently. We started as a local band. Our goal is to become a regional ska band rather than just a local ska band. So we've been lucky enough to play with some really great bands from, you know, an hour to 3 hours from where we're from. And Albany is famous for being close to other cities. We don't have a lot on our own, but it's like 3 hours from Montreal, 3 hours to Boston, 3 hours to New York City. That's why you live in Albany. So we've been lucky to kind of catch up with some really great regional bands and kind of get out there and, you know, see some killer ska bands. I don't know anybody else.
It's also I think, you know, it's a mix of things. Like as we've gotten older and maybe there is a really cool ska scene that we just don't really know that much about. There's a band named Millington from here who's doing cool stuff.
Yeah, Millington does the theme song of this podcast.
There we go. So Millington's doing cool stuff. We played a show with them back in the day. It was like one of their first shows. We haven't played a show with them since. I mean, we're open to it. Obviously, they're cool. And, you know, we're playing with a band called Uncle Frank Says No. That's like a new ska band. Yep. But I think one of my favorite things about Albany has always been that it's because it's a small city, but everybody kind of does what they actually like. Everyone does what they want to do. So a lot of the best shows that we've played, it could be a metal band, a hardcore band, a punk band, a ska band, like, you know, it could be like an acoustic act or something. And so that's really, I think, is the strength of Albany, is that because I think there's not any sort of hard, like, rules of a scene, or there's no hope that, like, oh, when you're in a band in Albany, there's going to be something really cool that happens for
right,
you.
Right.
So from that, I think people just really do what they want to do. So there's a lot of great bands. There's always been a lot of great bands, but the ska punk scene isn't.
Yeah, there's not a lot of ska bands around specifically
in upstate. Well, I know for Matt and I, it's a little weird because like I'm in Idaho, right? So we are a weird island. Like I am 4 or 5 hours away from Salt Lake City. I'm 8 hours away from Portland, Oregon. Like we're this weird island that if we get anything, it's like, hooray, finally. Yeah. But like, so like last year I went on vacation and I drove 9 hours and I was still in Idaho. So so when you say like 3 hours to Boston, I'm like, well, dang, I can make that happen. Like it's super exciting for us. Yeah. And I'm sure Matt has the same thing because California is very large.
It's true. Yeah. Like, I mean, it takes you 6 hours to get halfway through it. So
yeah. In upstate, I mean, New York is too, you know, people don't realize that. Yeah, like, it, you know, if you're going from Buffalo to New York City, it takes you 9 or 10 hours. So,
yeah.
Oh, wow. It takes forever, huh?
Yeah. There's a lot of New York.
Yeah. I always talk about how I think Albany is, I wouldn't ever move, I don't think, because I love that, like, you know, and like for my job, I got to go around the state and stuff. So, like, I got to go to New York City, I got to go to Buffalo. And then it's like in the band, it's like, okay, well, let's go to Massachusetts. Let's go to Connecticut. It's like no big, it's just, you know, everything is like a few hour trip away. It's really great. So
it's nice as a band and especially a band of older dudes where we can, you know, we can go to another state and be home that night and not have to.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much of the ska scene is so big in upstate New York, but I know Northeast as a whole, there's like a ton of great bands out there that are some of my favorites right now. So that's why like I'm really excited for SPI Fest because it's going to be mostly these like Northeastern bands that are
so much rip. Yeah, I mean, yeah, right. Like Do It With Malice, Power Up, Sergeant Skag. There's awesome, awesome bands in the general Northeast. So we're very, very lucky to be part of all that mix.
Yeah. And as much as I joke about, you know, SPI Fest should come here next summer or something or anything like that. We actually do have a pretty thriving and continuing ska scene in Orange County, obviously. Yeah. And people do tour through here, you know. It may not always be on a schedule that works for me when I want it, but but you know, Baker's you know, you can't fault people because for a lot of bands coming to California is pretty far, you know. I do kind of like it, kind of I am jealous of all those like all these other places that are like 3 hours away from each other, 4 hours that are perfectly within driving distance for, you know, people. You know, you can make maybe a weekend of it, but yeah, California is a little bit hard. You know, I'll hear about bands that are all the way up in San Francisco and I'm like, oh. So
it's a there's like so many bands that I want to see that only ever play on the West Coast. So.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's the same. Yeah, same thing. No, I not to one up anybody, but there's two ska bands in Idaho and I'm in one of them. So
is the other half of your band in the other?
I wish. No, the other one is like 4 hours away.
It's funny.
But when we do get people here, we definitely turn out. We just had Hans Gruber and the Diehards here, and they turned out a really big show. It was a blast.
Yeah, they're coming through here actually soon.
They're awesome. Yeah, they're one of my favorite bands. I love that band. So.
All right. Before we wrap this thing up, of course, we have ska picks of the week. Why don't we go with Bob? Why don't you tell us about your ska pick?
Sure. Yeah. So. My pick is Goodbye by the Working Class Stiffs. So these guys, we played with them out at the Buffalo Ska Fest last year, which was an awesome show. Bunch of great Northeast ska bands playing there. So this is a new single by them. They're playing our Buffalo record release show on March 2nd at Mohawk Place in Buffalo. And these guys are great. They remind me of the Suicide Machines. Just have that, you know, ska core kind of vibe to them, and this song's awesome. We love you red like it's a day.
able to dress and play your first arrest. It was worth the harm for you to die. It felt worthless, we know that's a lie. Did not think that you'd cause any harm. You should think of your family when you stuck up your arm. And go without it, you're your reputation.
Jay, why don't you tell us about your ska pick?
All right, my ska pick is Power Up's Castigation, The Simulation. And they made me say castigation, which is hard.
We had to look that word up in there.
Same.
Apparently, which is cool. But yeah, featuring the best of the worst, which I also didn't realize. But this song rips. Power Up is the best band in the Northeast. I'll say it. We've been very lucky to play a lot of shows with them. We did a sort of weekender with Power Up about a year and a half ago, which is where we met Do It With Malice sort of again after many years. And it, in its own way, sort of led to this record happening. So Power Up has a very, they have a place in my heart for sure. Power Up's playing both of our record release shows, March 1st at Albany and March 2nd in Buffalo. Justin from Power Up made one of our videos. If you check out the Girth Control YouTube, you'll find Pass It Out Karaoke, which was made by Justin from Power Up, who is not only a great singer and trombone player, but a karaoke superstar. So Castigation, The Simulation by Power Up.
Power Up album a lot. It's definitely one of my
and
favorites.
If you look on Power Up's YouTube, all of that album, the one they put it last year, Just Devils, there's karaoke versions for every song.
Absolutely, yeah. that was definitely, we were just kind of scrambling for a video for that, and Justin had sort of offered to do some karaoke videos for us, and we loved the Power Up karaoke.
it was super helpful for us too, because we made the mistake of doing different words in every chorus of that song, and so we always fucked up play it live. So then actually, like, I watching the video a few times, I was like, now we don't fuck it up anymore. So yeah. So Justin's really, he's the savior of the band.
But yeah, I will be real for a second. Aaron and Gary from Power Up, we've known for a really long time. Like, we played shows with Public Access with them at Bob's Old Basement, and they've always been in good bands. Power Up is them achieving their final form. Like, it's like watching everybody sort of get to the point where they've always been working towards. That album is amazing. It's one of the best ska core records. It's come out in many years, and I always knew they had it in them, and they did it, and it makes me very happy, and I
totally
love it. Yeah.
All right, Mark, why don't you tell us about your ska pick?
Sure. I'm going to go with Do It With Malice. This song is called Symphonic Homicide, which is from their album from 2008 of the same name. So they haven't put out new music in a while. They put out a song in 2012, but they're working on a new one that's going to be out on March 8th, but it's not out yet. So I would love for it to be the new one, but we're going to go with Symphonic Homicide. Do It With Malice is an awesome band. They've been super helpful. You know, obviously great friends, and Chris, you know, hearing Pass It Out when we played, and he wanted to hear the record, and he really wanted to help us out and put it out and take Insidious Industries to like another level of kind of putting out other band stuff. And I can't say enough good things about them as people, as the, of them as a band, the way that they've helped us get into, you know, the Buffalo ska scene, get on Buffalo Ska Fest last year and meet, all these great people, and they're super talented. I don't know how their singer plays bass and sings at the same time. He's like so good. And, yeah, so, you know, it's crazy to think that back in 2008, they were as good as they are on this song, and then to know that they're about to unleash some shit that's going to just, I think, blow it out of the water and just, you know, be a benchmark for, you know, our region and our ska punk. You know, so on March 8th, they're putting out a song called Gravity. And so, yeah, Do It With Malice. And the song's called Symphonic Homicide.
Yes, we not too long ago we had Do It With Malice. Oh, Adam has
It's blurring, but I've got both my Do It With Malice CDs right here because I love this band as well.
Great. Yeah, we had them on not too long ago, and yeah, they informed us they're working on new music. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, new music from them. All right, so my ska pick is I guess a little bit of an apology to the band. I actually don't think that they were. So on TikTok, I have a thing. I was scrolling through TikTok and I scrolled through this account, and it just said Legal Disaster Ska, and one of the members from the band was playing a ska version of the Green Day, Do You Have the Time, that song?
Basket Case.
Basket Case. Couldn't think of it. I'm a terrible Green Day fan. They were singing it, so I clipped it when it's saying, Do You Have the Time to Listen to Me Whine? I clipped it and cut to me saying, no. And then I just moved on. You know, just a joke. I've done it for years. Everyone's done it at different times. But then this week I looked them up. Good ska band. So I wanted to highlight Legal Disaster. They put out a EP in 2022 called Golden Hills, and this is a song off that album called Get Down.
Down, I get down, I get down, I get down. Down, I get down, I get down, I get down.
So, yes, hopefully Legal Disaster, no hard feelings. I don't think they were mad. I did comment on the video. You know, hope there's no hard feelings. It's just a joke. And I think, this is how you discover ska in 2024. TikTok. So get on the TikTok, discover some ska. And Adam, tell us about your ska pick.
Well, I know nothing about TikTok and ska. But my pick is from a Salt Lake City band called Wicked Bears. They're like one of my favorite bands ever. And they put out an album last year that was one of my top albums of the year. And this is the ska song off that album. It is called Lucky.
I like to dance.
When do you burn it?
When I get the chance.
Let's hear it one more time for the people in the back.
Why do you burn it?
Cause I like to dance.
When do you burn it?
When I get the chance.
Yeah, when I get to the club, I walk in just like I'm the Fonz. And then I punch that stupid jukebox till it plays your favorite songs. Then I buy the merchandisers, let the joystick move the claw. I want a Utah Jazz jersey wearing bare for you to carry through the mall. But instead of that dispenser, from the clutches of the claw comes a fully loaded Smith & Wesson, ready to teach me a lesson. And before this night is through, you and I will be staring down at China through the .429 inch hole in my shoe.
Yeah, I've heard that song and it's great. And yeah, everyone keeps that popped up in a lot of ska people's, you know, favorite albums and stuff like that. It's like, but it's only the one ska song.
Yeah. Yeah. That's only the real ska song, but, their drummer plays drums for a ska band called Anchorage and their guitarist Nick used to play, for a different band out of Salt Lake City called Stretch Armstrong. So there's definitely ska roots there, but yeah, the whole record isn't ska, but it is one of my favorite records ever made. It's so good.
Yeah, it's a good record. I wasn't trying to cut it down. It's a good record.
No, I know.
Trust me. I've picked non-ska songs on this ska pick of the week before all the time. no one cares. And if they do, oh well. It's our show. We'll do what we want. All right. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on this week's episode of On the Upbeat.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's been fun.
Yeah, this is awesome.
And, hey, you know, if you want to hear more, I almost sounded like Christopher Walken. If you want to hear more.
If you want more girth control
in your life, you should join our Patreon, patreon.com/ontheupbeatska, $4 a month. Gets you at least 2 bonus episodes. Most of the time we give you like 3 to 4. So we overpromise, or actually we underpromise, overdeliver most of the time. So check that out. And if you want to hear more, not only from Girth Control, but from many other bands that have been on this show. And it's a good time. So, listeners, thank you for listening. And, of course, until next time,
keep listening to ska.
You've been listening to On the Upbeat. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you get all the new episodes as soon as they're available. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at On the Upbeat Ska. Follow our Spotify playlist, Ska Favorites. It features all the songs heard on the show. Please consider joining our Patreon. Visit patreon.com/ontheupbeatska to sign up today. And thank you for supporting On the Upbeat.
Holy shit. Our first customer since our Triumph return. That cool.
Huh.
Yo, you guys holding? Shit, everything but coke, heroin, and your cock.
What?
How about a nickel bag, man? Oh, $15, little man. Put that shit in my hand. Nong, 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 nong. He likes to sing.
So, I haven't seen you guys in a while, man. Where you been all this time?
Me and Sal and Bob finally bought a car. We're cruising down to the boardwalk. Fucking Middletown cop pulls us over for suspicion of mischief.
What the fuck does that mean?
We were driving around with deployed airbag. The cops pull us over. They find 2 pounds of Jamaican lamb's wool. Prosecutor wants to put us away for a dime, but the judge gives us rehab instead.
Shit, rehab?
Yep.
How long were you in?
6 months, sir. We got 6 months and 2 days on the wagon as a good friend of Bill W's. Check it out. Just got it 2 days ago before we got out.
Yeah, but if you're holding all the time, aren't you going to be tempted to get high?
Oh, not with the power of Christ on my side, sir.
Is that a fucking Bible?
Hey, the holy fucking Bible, son.